Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pope.
Good morning and good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are joining us for Life is a Sacred Journey. It is so good to be back here with you this Friday morning at 8 a.m. I was talking to a friend of mine that lives back east, and they kept reminding me that, you know, they're like, Michelle, your show is early, and you really think people are going to get up and watch you? And I'm like, yeah, they do. So thank you so much for getting up and joining us for Life is a Sacred Journey. And you can see my friend Brando is back with me this morning, and so we'll be talking in a few minutes. But I wanted to share with you that I did get my COVID vaccine. So here's my COVID, like I'm back in kindergarten. Like, they gave us yellow cards when we were kids, and I had yellow cards for my kids. Brando, do you have yellow cards? Do they still do that, or no? They put it online.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So this is the COVID vaccine record card, and then it says that the second dosage needs to be taken beginning February 10th, and I have a few minutes to schedule that. So, and I'm still wearing my mask and still doing all the protocols, because technically the vaccine doesn't kick in for 2 weeks. So, and then even after that, I'm still going to have to wear a mask. But I want to say something to all my colleagues and friends out there and who are not people of color. When I brought up to them that it was difficult for me to go and to really get this vaccine, I felt like my feelings were pushed aside and ignored, and it was silly of me to think that I shouldn't go and get the vaccine. But I want to say to them and to all of you, get this book. It's called Medical Apartheid. It's the dark history of the medical experimentation on Black Americans, Native Americans, and people of color from colonial times to the present by Harriet A. Washington. Inform yourself before you tell people they don't have the right to feel what they feel. Now, I went and got the vaccine because it's the right thing to do. But know that I was feeling some kind of way doing it. So, and we need to educate ourselves if we're going to be serving the community, either in a community-based way or in churches or in medical facilities. Just stop thinking that it's a slam dunk for everybody to do what we think they should do and what we want them to do. You see my word back there, empathy? That's the word I want you to carry with you today. So, really good book, Medical Apartheid. Pick it up. I picked up a copy for all of my staff, social worker, everybody, so they can read it. And again, not to beat anybody up, but awareness. You can't communicate. Brando's going to share with you in a minute. You cannot communicate with other people if you don't listen, engage, share, not be judgmental, and lift it up to a higher place. When you do that with communication, then you learn and you don't fight and you don't have division and you can play in the sandbox together, go home, and feel good about the experience. So think about that. You know I have to lay some wisdom on you first thing, 8 o'clock in the morning. And then go online if you're over the age of 65. Or now, and or call your medical provider. The COVID-19 vaccination is now available to you. So please make sure you go and make that happen for yourself. Okay? All right. So now we are going to. I'm going to reintroduce you to Brando. You know, I know you know him because he has been with us before. And we're just so excited to have him back with us. And Brando was the last time he was with us, he was talking about Oakmont, where he works, and we're just so honored that they supported us. And through our virtual wine tasting, which was very successful. So thank you so much, Brando. But at that time, I also told you that Brando had another calling and purpose that he was living out. So let me read a little bit of his bio so that you can learn a little bit more about him. It looks like our live feed to Facebook dropped down, but I think it will come back. So we'll just keep going because we are recording it, and if we don't get back in there, Felicia will drop it into Facebook later. So hang in there, people. You know how technology is. So Brando Minajiver is a speaker and certified life and leadership coach, and he's based in the San Francisco Bay Area. He is known for inspiring, motivating, and coaching people from all walks of life to unlock their full potential so they can experience living fully alive and aligned. I love that, alive and aligned, because you can be alive. We're all alive. But if we're not aligned to our purpose, then that living can be a little hard and unfocused. And so Brandon helps people to navigate that and get on their journey, because every journey is unique. His work focuses on partnering with parents and students to co-create better relationships, developing healthy leaders, and coaching people on one-on-one to achieve personal goals. Brando's background is eclectic, with experience in corporate marketing, youth pastoring, and co-founding two nonprofit startups, and leadership development and coaching for hundreds of leaders, parents, and students. He is married to his wife, I think it's Caitlin, and is so a proud father of two very beautiful children that I got to see on his phone when we visited 6 feet apart, Mass, last year. So it is my honor to introduce you again to Brando, and Brando, welcome to Life is a Sacred Journey, and I just want to start talking, get right on into it, one, to say Happy New Year, and thank you for coming back, and thank you for the work that you do, and I want to ask a question, though, because I'm always asked this. When you realize that who you were becoming was somebody that had to reach out into the community and be a part of the movement of humanity, when was that moment, and what put you on the path of that from that moment?
Yeah, so I think for me, I mean, it goes way back. I'm not going to tell you my whole life story.
No, but yeah.
My father, for example, was very influential in my life. He's an immigrant, basically came here with nothing, built a massively successful business, but he ended up walking away from that financial success, what we would call the American dream, to actually start a church in the heart of Los Angeles. That's where I was born and raised. So it was a weird transition for me, you know, being a normal kid. Then to become like a pastor's kid was a very interesting transition. But I think through just serving in the church, not just in the church, but outside, you know, nonprofit community, I feel like just doing that, it grew my heart for people.
Yeah.
So I think the reason why, you know, I am a coach is essentially because I love people. So just by serving and giving, there's nothing else that brought me more joy than actually doing that. So I'm like, why not do this with my wife? You know, and that's when I entered into vocational ministry, did that for some time, obviously did different things, but, you know, now being a coach and in marketing and some of those things, the common denominator that I've really seen in my life has been developing, serving, and leading people. And if I can just keep doing that for the rest of my life, that's what I like to call your sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has their sweet spot.
Yeah.
That's my sweet spot. And I'm like, that's what I love to do, and that's what I want to continue to give myself to. So it may take some time,
mm-hmm.
you know, to figure out what that sweet spot is, what you would call your purpose. But I think a lot of that comes not from, you know, sitting down and, you know, dreaming. All those things are great. It comes from action. The more you do, the more you taste, the more you try things, the more you begin to understand, maybe I like this, maybe I don't like this. So that's kind of what led me to kind of what I'm doing now.
Well, I want to say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Facebook has finally found us a video slot. We are live, Brando. And so I want to reintroduce to all of you my wonderful guest, Brando Menjivar. Thank you. I finally got it. And he is a life and leadership coach. You met him in 2020 here on Life is a Sacred Journey when he supported our virtual wine tasting through his other position at Oakmont as marketing and community outreach individual. He does all of that person there. But yet, today he's here to talk about his work as a life and leadership coach and this organization that he has started himself called Why People of Enough, which I love that. Why People of Enough? So he just told us, my first question to all to Brando this morning was why? Why are you doing what you do in the community? Why are you reaching out to other people? Why did you become a certified life coach? And he spoke about his father who left the corporate world to become a pastor and then becoming a pastor's kid and then getting involved in the church, but more importantly, getting involved in the community. So I brought you up to speed for the little bit that you missed, and welcome to Life is a Sacred Journey. And, of course, Felicia will do her editing magic and make it all happen, but we welcome you this morning and hope that you are doing well. So, Brando, tell us about Why People of Enough. I think that's an amazing what do you want to call it? I mean, that's an amazing title for a program or for the way that you're envisioning people,
I love when people ask me that because when they hear that phrase, people of enough, some people say what you say, man, that is amazing, and then other people are like, what does that even mean? Like, what's the point of that? But, you know, there's a beautiful message at the heart of my coaching practice, which is, you know, a lot of us feel like we're not enough. Fill in the blank. I'm not good enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not, you fill in the blank, smart
mm-hmm.
enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, through coaching, we really help people to understand that they're not broken, right? That's how they're viewing themselves. It's the perspective that they have. But when you come to the place of understanding that, you know, I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything that I need to be successful. I think it's a beautiful place. So really helping people to understand that being enough isn't a place that we work to get to. It's a place to come from. And that's really impactful because I think so many people are trying to be enough by making more money, by achieving more things. So they fill in the blank with all of these other things, and that's where we, we call it the void.
Yeah.
And we try to, you know, fill in our heart with all of these things that really don't belong there. Are those things bad? Absolutely not. I'm thankful for money. I'm thankful for work. I'm thankful for achievement and trophies. All of those things are great,
yeah.
But those things do not make you enough. You already are.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
Like if you would see a homeless person like on the street, you would never go and tell them you're not enough.
Right.
Essentially,
yeah.
You know, at its core, at its essence, every human being, we are enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you begin to not only understand that, but believe it, it is transformative because if you believe that you are enough, then guess what? You're going to try to be. You're going to be fearless because you're titanium, right? Like
yes.
Nothing can hurt you in some way because if someone says something to you or they put you down, or they reject me, they walk away from your life, you're like, okay, that's part of life, but that doesn't take away from my value as a person.
Right.
I still am enough.
Right. And then you can hear things differently, because this is what I always say, is that we hear and we filter it through those emotions. You go that, and then intellectually we begin to hear things that people are not even saying. I was there in my life because I didn't like myself or whatever the reason was when I was a young person. And I think a lot of it, I told people last week, was because I had eczema and people made fun of me and they bullied me. And so by the time I became a teenager, I was hell on wheels. I was mad. And then what happens is that everything that you hear comes through that one awful experience, and then the road to happiness doesn't even look possible. So when you're looking and coaching with folks that have gone through this type of trauma, bullying is a trauma.
Yeah.
How do we move from that place to, you know what? That's yeah. How do we separate ourselves from that place? You know,
easier said than done.
Yeah.
And many times you do need a professional for that. There are people who are skilled at doing that. So even myself as a coach, I need a coach. And there are things that I can coach myself through.
Mm-hmm.
But really sometimes you need someone to sit across from you and look at your life objectively, not the way that you see it,
yeah,
and ask you hard questions to help you heal. So, you know, to answer your question about the past, I mean, that's something that we deal with all the time in coaching, and that's what holds people back. Literally, the only thing, Michelle, that stops a lot of people
mm-hmm.
is themselves.
Mm.
The reason why they haven't started the business, the reason why they haven't been able to lose that weight or achieve their goals, it's not because of 2020, it's not because of the circumstance, it's because about their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That they have about the circumstance.
Okay.
So like you said, you're filtering everything through your experience, and we call that, you know, the gremlin or the inner critic, and we really want to identify what that voice is. So, you know, what you were experiencing with what you've experienced in your past is your gremlin,
mm-hmm.
your inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you want to do something brave, you're going to hear that voice.
Always.
It's going to say, Michelle, you're not enough. You know,
and I have to say, get out of the way, get out of the way. You don't have a place here anymore. But I had to go to a life coach and had counseling and all kinds of things to get to that place, because I didn't know when you say inner voice, I didn't know that inner voice was me.
Right. Yeah.
So speak to that.
We teach people to identify what that voice is. We even tell people to give it a name. So you can call it something. You know, it can be called, you know, Marina or whatever you want to call it whenever you hear that voice. And it's really making peace with it. That your gremlin is there actually, your inner critic is there not to hurt you. It's there to protect you. So you may want to see it as a family member, right? Someone that loves you and cares for you. But we all know that sometimes mommy and daddy, they love us too much that they overstep and they hold us back from what we're meant to do.
Yeah.
And that's what our gremlin does, our inner critic. It holds us back. It's like our bodyguard.
Yeah.
But you have to see it as you are the employer and the gremlin is your bodyguard, like, you know, your employee. So your bodyguard is there to protect you. But you can also tell the bodyguard to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, so it's you know, it's some strategies that we use, but I'm glad you bring that up, because that is one of the things that really, really holds people back from really achieving anything that they want is their gremlin.
Yes. And I named my gremlin, just so that you guys know, now I'm sharing one personal thing with you. Her name is Fifi LaRue. And Fifi LaRue is not, she's cool, she's all right, because she's never hurt anybody but me. But at the end of the day, she is the one that always comes up and tries to keep me safe. You know, when I want to experience new things, she says, no, we're safer here. Because this is, change is messy, girlfriend. We don't want to get messy. We don't want to get in the muck and the mire. Oh, my goodness, we might fail. You don't want to fail. You don't have to do anything now. You're already successful. And a new opportunity may come along, and I have to fight her. And when we're dealing with a society of today, though, Brand, where people were given, you know, and this is a sticky question. People are given medals, and I noticed it when I was raising my millennial and now Generation Z, medals for being just showing up.
Yeah.
And in my era of baby boomer rearing, we got medals when we were the bestest of the best. And so I always thought when my children, it wasn't that I didn't want them to have medals, and I was blessed, my kids were blessed, they actually deserved them for sports and things because they made the numbers and all of that. But I feel we hurt and we fueled the inner gremlin when we gave people medals just for being members of the team. Because being a member of the team is great, but unless you excel out of the team and do something extraordinary, you still are a member. That doesn't make you bad, and that's what we did. We made just being a member of the team bad, and that everybody had to strive to a place of excellence that not is my excellence, is not your excellence, is not Sadie's excellence. So speak to that, because I think that's what we're doing. We're all running behind each other, trying to be each other, but yet our own unique selves are crying out and saying, let me out.
Yes. No, absolutely. And, yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, because I think that really comes down to your view of life. If life is about winning and losing, then it makes a lot of sense why you want to achieve and you want to beat out people. But if you're, but you know, if your view of life is not a game to be won, but a game to be played.
Mm.
So it's all about showing up, right? So obviously, I come from an athletic background, so
yeah,
I have medals. Right?
Me too.
I love winning.
Yeah.
I've lost and I've won, you know, before. And I love being competitive, but I feel, I mean, I'm still young, but I feel like the older I become, the more I mature, the more I understand the gift of life, the more I realize that, you know, life isn't a game to be won. It's all about just showing up, being present for people, giving it your best. And for me, if I'm giving it my best, then I'm winning.
Yes.
I'm showing up.
Yes.
Someone's always going to be better than me somewhere in the world. You know, I'm always going to be better than some people, and
yeah,
that's okay.
Right.
Some of us are genetically blessed than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have different experiences, different socioeconomic backgrounds, and it's just really being grateful for what you have. And again, comes back to this idea of enough,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that does not mean that I don't want more. And that's what I help people understand. Look, you have everything that you need.
Okay.
And be grateful for that.
Okay.
However, there is nothing wrong with wanting more.
Okay.
But understand the distinction, because so many people get stressed and experience unhappiness because they always want more, 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 and they're never going to be happy. So if you can't be happy with a cup of coffee in the morning or looking at the eyes of your beautiful child, then you're not going to be happy with that yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Or the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no way to happiness. Happiness is a way.
Oh.
It's all about showing up and being present, you know. So that's, it's really just understanding how, you know, what is your view of life and how do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you talk about vulnerability being the freedom, the path, you know, puts you being,
yeah,
vulnerable. And I love that because since 2016, I think that that's what I have done, is just vulnerability and bearing myself bare for the one, because of my faith and my ministry, but the other is to show people that, yes, people can go get through divorce and shine. People can be single parents and raise really beautiful, beautiful children. I'm thinking of mine, but of any single mom or dad or parent, grandparent, anybody out there. But instead, or being a person of color, or I wear my hair natural, or whatever the things are that are used to divide and stereotypical la la la, and that's the ugly gremlins, the gremlins that other people have placed on your heart that don't even belong to you, and they threw them in your suitcase because there was just a little bit of a crack for them to get there. Talk about that vulnerability, because I think that we have become a society, you know, this is, and I'm going to tell you why, because when people apologize to me for crying, wow, I did a sermon on that once, because that is one of the most precious gifts, is to be able to cleanse your soul with tears. And when you think that you cannot cry for just because other people around you are not crying, what have we done? Because that's being vulnerable.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as a man, I couldn't agree more, because if I cry in front of women, it's like, what are you doing?
I know. They're like, stop it. Stop it.
Exactly. And I believe vulnerability is the path to freedom, because I believe when a man cries, for example, he's being strong. He's not being weak, mm-hmm. because he's going against the norm.
Yes.
But deep down inside, every man will experience something in their life where they will want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You would never tell, you know, a young boy, don't cry.
Right.
Like, you're feeling, you can't cry, sorry. Like, men, we're too strong, we don't do that, we don't cry, you know. And we're just grown-up kids, it's all we are. And it's understanding that it's okay, emotions are okay. You are not your emotions, you do have them. And we are inspired when people are vulnerable.
Yeah.
When they share their story,
yeah.
when they're standing up, even though they're being criticized, that inspires us. You know why? Because we want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're living authentically by being vulnerable. So the more vulnerable that I am, the more I'm opening up, right? And you're seeing who I really am,
mm-hmm.
not what, you know, not what I think, not what you think I am, but who I really am.
Yes, and that's why you work with parents, which I think, you know, that to me is the work. To really begin to move the needle for our humanity that down the road is really going to be magnificent, right? Where people are all getting along, and every once in a while you're going to bump into each other and not get along, but not in the vile, ugly, disturbing way that we are now. And so talk about your parenting work. Is it, do you work with parents because there's a unique situation? Are you pulling together virtual parenting classes that churches or other folks can be a part of? Because I have to tell you, people out there know me, and you have met my daughter, and my children are a decade apart in age, and one male and one female. And it was always a struggle for me to ensure when to let go, when to hold on, when to shut my mouth and let something happen, even though I could see what was happening. And when I did parenting classes, both being in them and teaching them, that was the hardest thing for parents to learn, that when you provide that freedom for a person to and then create that cocoon where they know they can come back, You don't need to be.
Helicopter parents.
Helicopter. They've termed it now, right? They call it So, but I saw it. I saw it in science projects in elementary school, and I kept thinking, no child did that, you know. Or when the mission projects, when we move a little further up, and I was like, 11-year-old, there's no way an 11-year-old did that without a whole lot of intervention. And so talk about that a little bit, you know, how we can, as parents, through the different trajectories of our young people's lives, learn to silence that thing inside of us to give our people time to grow, because they'll come back. I'm here to tell you, they come back.
Right.
It's okay.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, I worked with teenagers for many years. So I was a youth pastor, and, you know, 300 to 400 students at a time, led multiple hundreds of volunteers. And we had what we call small groups every week.
Okay.
And in these small groups, you know, each group had a leader, and this leader would facilitate the conversation. And the things that these teens would tell us, you know, about home, their lives. I mean, weekly we were dealing with, you know, suicide, depression.
Yes.
I mean, it's very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I come from the perspective of what I've heard. I mean, I was a teen. We've all been teens.
Oh, I was. Please, yes, that was the worst, man.
A modern teenager, I mean, I think it's empathy, right? That word behind you.
Yeah.
I think parents need to empathize and understand that, you know, the modern teenager, their lives are much different than when we were teens. I mean, they have this device right here.
Speak to that, Brando.
This device right here, this is, the whole world is in your pocket. In your back pocket.
Yeah.
And we weren't meant to carry the conversation of the whole world in our pocket. So it makes a lot of sense why we're so stressed and anxious. So I think it's learning to empathize, create some boundaries, but just being a respectful parent.
Yeah.
And honoring them. I think a lot of the tension that I see between parents and their kids is lack of respect both ways.
Mm-hmm.
The kids not respecting their parents, but the parents not respecting their kids because of the way that they're talking to them. So it's all about being conscious in your energy. You know, I like to ask parents, when you come home from work, what do your kids feel? When you open that door and you walk into your house, what is the feeling that they have? That shows you a lot of your parents' feelings. So if they're feeling, oh, my gosh, dad's home, or, yeah, dad's home, can't wait to hug him. I mean, it creates different feelings, but it's the thoughts that create our feelings. So when you come in, how you show up as a parent, your kids have thoughts about you. The thoughts that they have about you is how they feel about you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those feelings, you know, therefore create a result, a behavior. So if there's a lot of tension in your relationship, most likely, let's backtrack it. They're feeling stressed, so it makes a lot of sense why they're fighting back and they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But where does stress come from? It's a thought that they have.
Yeah.
And that thought is, mom doesn't understand me. Dad doesn't understand me. Nobody cares. So they have these thoughts.
Yep.
But through coaching,
yep.
they really want to identify what those thoughts are
yep.
and replace them with new beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
To have new feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about how you're showing up, you know, at work, at home. But I think just being very conscious and being a respectful parent, just that can be a game changer in your parenting strategy.
Oh, you have said the $1 million. That was, you know, when my son, who is now 32, was 9, I came to ASEB. I had a corporate job making a whole lot more money than I will ever make again here at ASEB. But I did it because he said to me one day when I came home from work, We were sitting at the table, and I thought I was a great parent. I made sure we had dinner, and we were eating together and talking about our days and la, 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 doing the Bill Cosby thing. And he looked at me, and he said, "Mom, do you know the only thing that you have said to me for everything that I have said is mm-hmm?" And I looked at him, and I said, "No." He said, "Yeah, that's all you said is like, mm-hmm, that's good, mm-hmm." So while I thought I was engaging because I was physically there, I was acknowledging what he was saying, I was not intentionally engaging in a real conversation and dialogue with my son. And that's when I started looking for a new gig, because I realized the job was so, had taken over so much of my bandwidth that I was still thinking about the job, even though I had brought myself physically home. And so now that we're sheltering place, how do you think that is, you know, because I was leaving and coming home and still wasn't able to change, you know, until I recognized that I needed to create space, like stop doing that and da-da-da. How do you think this sheltering in place is changing all of that dynamic with between the parent or even the husband and, I mean, the family dynamic?
Yeah, I think it's revealing a whole lot more now that people are spending more time together at home.
Okay.
You know, we're seeing more people getting separated right now.
I know.
There's a lot of tension in relationships because people are spending more time together. I think it's just revealing a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But how can we work around that? And it's really reframing and our thoughts around it. You know, some people have been able to see 2020, you know, as a horrible circumstance,
okay,
a curse, mm-hmm, whereas other people have been able to see it as a blessing.
Yeah.
It's all about your thoughts about it.
Yeah.
You know, your circumstances trigger thoughts, right? And your thoughts trigger your feelings. So when you understand that, you know, the reason why I'm feeling anxious and angry about something, just because I have a thought about something, and I can reframe it, and instead of looking at my situation as a curse, which is horrible, I'm going to go back to my office, what if you saw it as, wow, I haven't been able to spend as much time with my family like this before, you know, like, it's a beautiful gift.
Yeah.
You're just choosing to see the dark side, but what if you chose to see the light?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what we help people, you know, do through coaching, and I think it's very empowering in every situation. I mean, I love to bring up, you know, I just forgot his name. So he was a survivor of the Holocaust.
Oh,
and
okay.
He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay.
Have you read the book before?
No, I'm writing it down.
Yeah, so he was a psychiatrist who survived the Holocaust. And it has been one of the most impactful books,
okay,
that I've read, you know, ever read.
Mm-hmm.
Man's Search for Meaning. And, Viktor Frankl.
Oh, okay. I know the name. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Viktor,
okay,
Frankl. Oh, my gosh. I mean, for this guy to acknowledge that at the end of the day,
mm-hmm,
no one can take your ability to decide. That's the ultimate freedom that we have of humans. We have the ability to choose. So what he was saying is, yes, we experience, you know, horrible pain and suffering in a concentration camp. But the ones who survived, were the ones who were able to see the light. We're the ones who are able to see hope.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed their thoughts about their circumstances. And he said, those are the people who did not give up. And they were able to endure and survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he really talked about in his book. As a psychiatrist, he helps people understand that you have freedom to decide.
Yeah.
You have freedom to choose to see the dark side,
mm-hmm,
or the light, and that's completely up to you.
Mm-hmm. And as we move into this time when we're going to be able to, you know, get back to normal, I have been thinking about that, Brando, should we be striving to, when we say get back to normal, you know, I keep thinking, what is normal, one, and then do we ever want to go back to anything? And are I love trains. And so, you know, I always think about a train is always going somewhere. It may repeat its route, but it is still always going. And so you talked about moving into action. How do we remain in action? Do vision boards work? And I put affirmations on Post-it notes on my mirror, on the front door. I mean, I keep journal. I mean, do all of these things really assist us in helping to stay in a gratitude mood and attitude?
Yeah. So I like to condense that into, like, just three ideas.
Okay.
So the first one that I would say is if you want to create a breakthrough, so I just did a talk about this a couple weeks ago to get people, you know, started in the new year. It's like if you want a breakthrough, you're going to have to change, you know, your sight. And what I mean by that is that so many people live paycheck to paycheck, day to day, and they don't really think about the decisions that they're making and the impact those decisions have on the future. So if you want to create a breakthrough and really create action and achieve goals, you're going to have some sort of vision, some sort of why. You know, if you ask people, what is your why? Why are you here? What's your life mission? Most people don't know how to answer that question.
I know, yeah.
If you ask them, what do you want your life to look like a year from now, 3 to 5 years from now, they have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michelle, it's interesting, you're a leader of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, organizations, you know, Fortune 500 companies, they're spending millions of dollars a year on coaching and consulting. Why?
Right.
Because they want to make sure they know where they're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some companies have more vision for their life than some people have for their own life, which
right.
can be really sad because human life is much more valuable than a company.
I know.
And so I always encourage people to change your sight, have some sort of vision, because that's your fuel. If you know where you're going and why you're going, that is your fuel. You're going to get there because you have a why.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that I would say is to change your story.
Oh.
You know, we have stories that we tell ourselves, and this is the thought work, right? So the reason why you're not taking action is simply because of the thoughts you have. You know, you're telling yourself a story that you're not good enough, that, you know, I'm always going to be overweight. I'm always going to be this. So it makes a lot of sense why you're not doing anything, because you have a limiting belief, something that is holding you back. So you really want to change that story to be able to move forward. And then the last thing that I would say is just to change your strategy. You know, change your strategy. Some people are doing things that are not working. They don't have a plan. They don't calendar. There's no strategy whatsoever. But I really think if you get a hold of those three things, change your site, change your story, change your strategy, there's three S's.
Yep.
You can remember them. Then it can be an absolute game changer. So for some people, one thing is going to matter than the other one, you know, than the other ones. But I think the most important one at the end of the day is to change your story.
Yeah.
Because so many people are telling themselves a story. You know, I'm just a minority. You know, I'm this, I'm that. There's no hope for me. That is not true.
No.
Whoever, you know, whatever situation that you're in, someone found a solution to your problem. And they've been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely possible.
Yes. Oh, Brando, how do people get in contact with you for leadership classes? I know I'm a Facebook friend with you, and I noticed that you're doing a lot more virtual stuff because of COVID. So would you share with everyone how they can become a part of this wonderful Why People of Enough? I love that. I'm going to remember that forever.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. So, yeah, I'm happy to offer free consults to anyone. I usually work with people one-on-one right now.
Okay.
in the next couple of months, I'll be doing some more groups. But really, right now, my focus is one-on-one. I think the very where we find a lot of the transformational work. So
okay.
If you want to reach me, you can find me on Instagram. My handle everywhere is at Brando Menabar. So
okay.
On Instagram, on Facebook, you can reach me there, or you can visit my website, which is peopleofenough.com.
Okay.
And like I said, happy to serve anyone who's needing some personal coaching service.
And you know, and I really believe that a part of the change that the world, you know, and I always say this, is that it starts with us. And if we change who we are and who we show up as, you know, every day, try to bring our best forward, you know, not be the Eeyore of the group. And, you know, some people don't even know, and you know, because you and I met, and, you know, I live with a sciatic nerve arthritis, kind of tingy pain all the time. Like, it's never going to go away. It's going to be with me forever because I refuse to take aspirin and do all the whippity-doo-dah. But at the end of the day, I don't even complain about that. What I say is, when it first happened, I had to walk with a cane. When it first happened, I couldn't even get out of the bed. And then I had to walk with a cane for like 6 months. So this little bit of tinge that I get that makes me have a massager in my nothing. So it's what you just said. It's changing the story from I'm disabled to whatever. And there are days that I don't even notice it because of that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because I'm kind of like willing it away. And so Brando has shared something with you, my wonderful Life is a Sacred Journey audience. Please hit that share button and send it out to other people and get a hold of Brando, People of Enough. Now, what is when we go to peopleofenough.com, what will we find there?
Yeah, so there's basic information about my life coaching practice.
Okay.
Career coaching, if some people need that. But there's a place for you to learn a little bit more about me.
Okay.
Learn about what I do. And at the same time, if you want to jump on a call, on a free consult, I'm happy to do that with you just to get an idea where you're at.
Okay.
If working together makes sense. So that's what they can find there.
And so, and if you're now, this is what I was thinking of, Brando, and correct me if I'm wrong because I'm thinking out loud, but I was thinking that there are many folks now who have retired during the COVID time because it was sort of like they were almost there, and so they thought, okay, I might as well. But they're now, as we're going to come out, these are people who maybe want to start a second career or maybe do the thing that they always wanted to do before they lived this career for however long. Are those folks that can get a hold of you as well and you can help them? Because I know people like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is some of my favorite work.
Okay.
To help people identify all those projects that they've been wanting to do. And we really put a plan together to figure that out. So I love doing career coaching.
Okay.
I do it with college students, you know, from Berkeley. I deal with people who are much older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, the principles and the philosophy of coaching that really can benefit a lot of people. So, yes, absolutely.
All right. So all of you that are out there who are like me, you know, I'm not getting ready to retire yet, but, you know, as I begin to put my plan together, I plan to sit down with Brando at some time in my journey, my life journey, because he's my BFF. And really discuss, you know, because I don't want to be inactive, and none of us should retire to nothing. And retirement is not that place where you go to wait to die. Retirement should be that place where you go to renew and to relive a better journey than you possibly could have imagined. And so I wish that for all of you. And then for parents out there, this is a new world that you're parenting in, and just to have someone to have dialogue about, What does it mean? Working at home, all of the stressors that I know I didn't have ever because we never had a pandemic, so my kids went to school, daycare, all of that. And so we got that time to be apart. Brando is there for that. If you're a young college student or a young person that's getting graduating from high school this year and in this time of turmoil and your parents are walking beside you, Brando can also help you to determine or to look inside yourself and prepare yourself maybe for virtual learning or hybrid learning and to walk into it as a wonderful beginning journey instead of woe is me and I'm going to hate it and it's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to me in my whole entire life, because if you live to be my age, I'm here to tell you, no, it won't be. So Brando can help. And I think that what makes Brando special to me and why I say please give him a call if you've thought about coaching is because, one, he works in the senior care world, and any of us that work with seniors and their families, there's a level of empathy that and compassion that we have to have every day, and sometimes when people are at their most vulnerable and also at their worst. I'm just saying, because that has happened, and I know what he does. But yet, a smile, a gentleness, an aura that you know you will not be judged and that you are safe, because that's the thing that we are all looking for in this world today is safety. Safety in relationship, safety in conversation, safety, physical, mentally, and spiritually. So, Brando, thank you so very much for spending more time with us this morning on Life is a Sacred Journey. Thank you. He and I were so calm when we were having the blip. We just started going. It was no big deal, and I love it, and no anxiousness for him, so therefore I didn't get anxious. So thank you, brother, for that. And I just want to wish you and your family a wondrous, abundant, blessed 2021 and adventure and joy. That's my new thing now, adventure and joy. So, yes.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, and you know, wish you the best and my success, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Well, we're always going to be in touch, but give them your contact information one more time before we close out.
Yes, so peopleofenough.com or any social media handles are going to be at Brando Menivar, BrandoMenivar. Happy sound.
Okay, and your first conversation is a free consultation to determine whether there's a match, whether where you want to go, all of those kinds of things. And so, you know, let him know you heard him on Life is a Sacred Journey as well. And you know, just please take care of yourself by any means necessary. Take care of yourself. And sometimes you have to have somebody else walk with you physically for that journey. So have a wonderful day. Be careful out there. Still wear your mask. Still wash your hands. When it's time for the COVID vaccine, I cannot tell you to take it, and I will not tell you to take it. But use good discernment. Get all the information that you need. Ask the vital questions, and then make a conscious, informed, and educated decision that you will not be mad at yourself later on down the road one way or the other. That's the key to everything. You know, as I tell people, whatever decision you make, make it with an open heart and information, and then let it go, because if it's a wrong decision and you made it, don't beat yourself up about it, because at that particular moment, you made a decision on what you knew. All right? Brando will teach you all about that kind of stuff. All right. Good people of the world, good people of Life is a Sacred Journey. Be well, be blessed, and have a wonderful day. And, Brando, stay on the line for a minute. I want to say something to you. All right, good people, have a good Friday. Love you. All right, let me get rid of this other. Perfect.